Welcome to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Jack Silverstein of Senior Housing News. On today's episode, we're exploring one of the most promising innovations in the senior healthcare space, remote patient monitoring, or RPM. As operators explore innovative ways to help residents age in place, RPM is showing real potential in improving resident outcomes, reducing hospital visits, and offering peace of mind to residents and their families. We sat down with Michael Emery, Curana Health's Executive Vice President of Strategy, and Stephanie Boreal, Watermark Retirement Community's National Director of Health Strategy, to dig deeper into this topic. All right, so welcome both to Transform. We really appreciate you giving us your time today. Michael Emery, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work at Curana Health, please?
Perfect. Thanks, Jack. Michael Emery, I'm based in Austin, Texas, but you know, Curana's Executive Vice President of Strategy, I have the privilege of overseeing the design and development of our clinical and operational products, including our remote patient monitoring program. Before kind of stepping into the administrative side many, many years ago of healthcare, I worked as a family nurse practitioner kind of in the communities in which we serve in senior living residences. Before that, I was an ICU critical care nurse and a nurse's aide before then. So I've kind of grown up in the space and really developed it. And then Curana Health, what do we do? And I'm privileged to work for this company, and we're dedicated to transforming the healthcare experience for seniors, partnering with senior living operators and their adaptation of value-based care models. And we are the largest provider of senior living primary care services in the country. So we have the privilege to offer residents medical cares within their communities and actually serve their needs.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Stephanie Boreal, thank you also for joining us. Please tell us about the work that you and the team are doing at Watermark Retirement Communities, please.
Perfect. Thank you. So the work that we're doing, and I'm responsible for health strategy at Watermark, and it's a national senior living company that is really kind of pushing the envelope on creating extraordinary and innovative communities. And so working with Curana has been a ton of fun, and figuring out what the clinical model looks like and then adding innovation to that with the RPM has been a passion project. And I'm responsible for the clinical operations, which includes the integrated care model, programming, and well-being. And so all of those kind of intersect with the type of care that we're providing and moving from sick care to preventative care. And Curana is our partner in doing that.
Perfect. I'm wondering, because I'm always interested in this, and Michael, you mentioned a nursing background. Is there one particular anecdote or experience from each of you that brought you into this space? I always find that anyone who's working in senior care, any part of the broader healthcare senior industry, a lot of people, I don't know, maybe the majority of people who I talk to have some sort of, inciting incident, something very important that gave them this past. I'm wondering if either of you have any such stories to share.
Yeah, I can jump in. I think, honestly, it's not something that pulled me in, but it's almost something that validated my experience as a healthcare provider. I was an ICU nurse, and there's this lovely, fiery lady in her ICU, and she was at the end stage of her life. Her daughter was actually one of the department's directors. And so, in her last days, the daughter's like, I don't trust anyone but Michael to help my mother pass into the next life. And that was a huge responsibility. And this is a woman that I've seen multiple times in the ICU. And just kind of that experience of just, assisting someone and having this expectation of a fellow professional. It was a lot of pressure, but a lot of satisfaction that, in this industry of someone that knows what's going on, I was trusted. And to me, that kind of just validated the mission and the space that I wanted to be in, and really pushed me not only to be the best ICU nurse, but saying, hey, how can I do more? How can I impact more? And so as a family nurse practitioner, and then you're growing in an administrative role and leading large teams, I think I get to impact that more and have better impact across there. And so it validated my direction in healthcare and kind of continues to be a backbone of why I stay in this industry.
That's wonderful. Stephanie, anything come to mind for you?
So prior to being at Watermark, I was actually working in hospital administration and had a conversation with one of the founders of Watermark, who was really interested in kind of taking care to a different level. And so that piqued my interest and moving away from what was kind of provided traditionally from a care model to what we're doing at Watermark with integrating the wellness components was incredibly appealing, and the ability to take a model and to build on that and provide something for the seniors that we get the privilege of taking care of was really exciting to me.
Let's go into the relationship now between Watermark and Curana Health. Tell me about how that began. What was Watermark looking for? What problem were you looking to solve? How did you come to Curana implementation? Just give us that experience, that story, please. And that can be from either of you.
Absolutely. So a couple years back, we started looking at value-based care options and immediately went to Medicare Advantage as a solution. When we were looking at those options, Curana was coming into the market. And based on my background in healthcare administration, it made more sense to us to build the framework or the infrastructure with the primary care locations before we jumped in with both feet to the Medicare Advantage. Curana also brought forward the opportunity to partake in the Accountable Care Organization through CMS, which was really beneficial. And so looking at it from their lens, they're focused on really driving clinical outcomes, which was hand in hand with the work that we wanted to do in shifting from sick care to well care. And so that was part of the initial conversation in working with Curana. And then once we got moving with Curana, it's been a whole lot of fun to work with them, because in addition to building this infrastructure and this integrated model with some additional care partners, there's all of these technologies and innovations that get plugged in as well. And so we see them as a true partner in moving the needle.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, both of you. So, Michael, I'm excited to chat about remote patient monitoring, a technology that has the potential, obviously, to hugely impact the lives of seniors. Let's start with you. What exactly is remote patient monitoring? In 2025, what kinds of technologies are best for senior living residents and communities? Lay the landscape for us, please.
Yeah, I think it's great. There's a lot of optionality when it comes to remote patient monitoring, or also known as RPM. But really, in its core, it's the use of connected devices that are trying to track key health metrics, such as blood pressure, blood sugar, weight, oxygen levels, respirations. And this can be done in the home of that individual's residence. You know, for like some of our programs, it's really real-time information that we're trying to collect on the seniors and residents that we actually care for. And so that it can actually be supported by real-time clinical teams who identify concerning readings and notify the patient's care team for prompt response. So we're trying to find key bits of data in the story between visits that improve that longitudinal care. And so for us, it's like leveraging interactive smart devices, as you can call them, like blood pressure cuffs, blood sugar glucometers, pulse oximeters, digital scales, things that these seniors have, making them smart and having them sending actionable data to care teams that are behind the scenes that are looking out for those residents. And I think that's what really we're trying to do. And so that those seniors and the communities that, you know, Stephanie leads at Watermark can enjoy their days in these beautiful, you know, environments, these 360 well programs that just help them thrive. How can we support? And we see at Curana Health that RPM can really do that. And so I think that's the landscape we're in 2025. You know, the tech naive seniors are few and fewer.
Well stated. Let's talk about the challenges that communities are facing today that RPM, remote patient monitoring, let's call it RPM, that RPM is uniquely positioned to help solve. And Stephanie, let's start here with you and what you and the team at Watermark have encountered. Because I always think, as someone who covers senior living, there's the truth that I see, there's the truth that vendors see, there's the truth that reporters see, but there is nothing like the truth that people on the ground in a building see. What do you see, and what can you tell us about how Watermark is using RPM?
So I think from an operational perspective, labor availability and cost, turnover, training dollars, those are all potentially targeted by RPM. And then because the technology is specifically provider facing, the lift for the community to implement is really minimal. And so those are helpful in combating some of the challenges that we face with labor and turnover and training.
Perfect. Michael, what to you are the issues that you really see RPM solving for?
You look at delayed identification of health issues. So, you know, if one of our best-in-class providers sees a patient and they see him a month later, there's 30 days or 29 days in between those visits. What happens? Our residents and seniors are living during those times. And are we behind the eight ball when we're realizing acute events or exacerbations? Can we actually trend it a little bit better? The subtle trends, right? Like a rising blood pressure, a dropping O2 sat, or some concerning blood sugar readings. Can we get ahead of those things where, you know, what we're trying to ultimately, you know, avoid is an avoidable hospitalization. And there's a distinguisher between for acute needs and you have an acute stroke, you need the hospital. That's the best place for you to be with that condition. But if there's things that we can do to avoid that, that just falls naturally in what we're trying to accomplish at Carolina Health in partnership with Watermark. And so how do we identify and intervene earlier before it escalates, improving the life of that senior so they can remain in the community that they love and enjoy, whether it be pickleball, bingo, a movie night, walking, like just enjoy more. Really have more well days and sick days. And then just, again, how do we add more staff between that time, those 29 days? We get the opportunity to build better care teams that improve communication gaps, whether it be the residents, you know, Stephanie's team at Watermark is really focused about everything to do with the patient, not just their healthcare and wellness, but also just their overall living experience and the families and these adult children that support their parents that are living there. So to us, you know, RPM allows this opportunity to have more data and information that we can act and improve a lot of these areas that are ripe for improvement.
Amazing. Michael, are there any stories that jump out at you that really tell the tale, that show the impact that RPM is having on senior living residents and especially the impact that can be had when you have that early intervention?
Absolutely. And so there's a woman in her 80s with type 2 diabetes. It's been active in the participating in the 360 Well program, right? Just working with that. Now, Stephanie's done a great job just developing this amazing program called 360 Well, focused on so many different dimensions. But you know, this resident was engaging in that. She's managing her diet. She's attending fitness classes. She's getting healthier. And so she goes to her PCP, which is not us, and reviewed her most recent A1C levels and said, wow, you're doing great. Let's make an adjustment of your insulin prescription, right? Based on the new fitness level. Well, we've luckily been able to plug in with the RPM device and notice, you know, hey, her RPM glucometer registered a very low reading. And so one of our remote nurses recognized this deviation from the norm, right? Received the results, contacted the care team, who determined that, you know what, she never filled her prescription. We were able to intervene, get her hypoglycemia resolved, and provide more support in getting that new prescription. With RPM, we actually got her back on track and prevented a medical emergency. Because if you understand anything about seniors, hypoglycemia, so low blood sugar, can be more deadly than high blood sugar because of the impact on that. And so for this, you know, 80-year-old type 2 diabetic, you know, resident, she just had a better outcome because she had smart technology through remote patient monitoring.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stephanie, how have Watermark's staff members responded to this technology? Are there any unexpected benefits or surprise learning curves or implementation challenges?
So going back to what Michael just shared, one of those stories, I think that those stories are resonating with the team. There's no question. But in regards to a workflow response, the tool doesn't really create the need for the staff to respond because Kirana is taking on the ownership of that and updating the care planning or the orders on their end. And so that trickles down to our team, but really the majority of the work is being done on the Curana side, not the team on the floor, but they're seeing the benefits of what's happening because of the technology.
Let's talk RPM and how it fits into value-based care. Tell me about the connection here between the two in senior housing, please.
So I'll take that first. You know, I think starts kind of what is value-based care? You ask probably 100 people, you get 100 different definitions. I think at its core, it's just focused on care quality and outcomes for an affordable cost, right? And then, you know, RPM is a great solution. And jokingly, probably, you know, 5 years ago, Michael Emory was an RPM skeptic. And because, you know, sometimes, you know, when there's dollars around things, it can be used, you know, inappropriately. And I think for us, I see the vision with a true value-based partnership and a company that we are and saying, hey, it took us a little bit because we wanted to make sure it was for the right reasons. And so RPM actually has a tremendous case for proactively managing chronic conditions and identifying concerns early, because value-based sometimes gets a misnomer for spending less, but actually it's spending more in the right areas. So you think about it, if you can spend more upstream, you can prevent a lot of these exacerbations of chronic conditions that cost 10x of what preventative care can cost. It's much easier to treat that low blood sugar than it is someone that, you know, has a low blood sugar, falls and hits their head, you know, has a subdural hematoma. So for us, it allows what I call like the longitudinal health care, right? The health data. And so instead of the visits that one day one, day 30, we're actually caring for that resident senior throughout those 30 days, whether we physically, you know, interact with them or virtually behind the scenes, and allows us to actually apply more care and oversight for them and allow them to actually satisfy what matters most to them. So just again, RPM really supports the goals of value-based care by improving resident outcomes, enhancing satisfaction, and lowering avoidable healthcare utilization. It's a win for residents, providers, and payers alike.
What ended your cynicism?
I think for me, it's just, okay, it's great, but if you didn't have the infrastructure and team to respond on it, it's just noise. So if I'm saying like, hey, I'm collecting, you know, 50 blood pressures on someone, but I can't intervene or do anything or have the mechanism to do so, it's not bad data. I just am not prepared to handle it and act on it. So to me, it's worse in a sense. We've kind of built a chassis to leverage the technology of RPM, because ultimately everything we do is through the vein of improving the health, happiness, and dignity of our senior living residents.
Well, that just about does it. I just want to ask you both one question. You don't have to explain. You just give me the vision. 2025, when we look back at it in RPM, it will be the year of...
I'll go first. It's adoption, right? Adopting the technology. It's adoption, embracing it.
I was going to say launching. Yes.
I think this is
us getting started.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Jack Silverstein of Senior Housing News. Thank you to our guests, Michael Emery and Stephanie Boreal. And thank you all for listening. To hear more Transform episodes, go to seniorhousingnews.com/podcast.